See, aren't you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
To hear of the goodness of God. He is so good, isn't he? You know, there's pretty much anything you turn on out there, there's nothing good about it. Absolutely nothing. And then you walk in to where the truth is, and the truth all of a sudden opens up a door into a place in a way that never seemed possible. Whether it's marriage, whether it's raising children and finances and, you know, relationships and families, God changes it all. He changes it all. You know, we just love celebrating. I love celebrating the goodness of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so we get to celebrate Mr. and Mrs. Samuel D. Romano, who are back from... That old married man, isn't that something? Only takes a week, and look at him. Gee. We're so thankful for the beginning of something beautiful in their lives. You know, we've watched how God has touched both of them. And one of my favorite memories of all time with Sam is in Guatemala. Favorite. We had to go pick up rocks. All the Guatemalan kids jump in the back of the truck. Sam jumps in the back of the truck. We're going down the road, and there goes Sam. Pew. I hit a bump. Sam wasn't holding on. Oh, all them little Guatemalan guys, they were like, clunk, clamp down. Not Sam. Hit his head, knocked out cold. I lock up the truck. I'm running back. I thought I killed him, and I'm like, how am I going to explain this to his father? And I'm saying, Lord, you got to raise that boy from the dead. And I'm screaming, Sam, Sam, the whole way I'm running. I get up there and I was like, Sam, you all right? I think so. Well, get up. So he got up. I said, all right, get back in the truck. We got to go get rocks. Let's go. And from now on, you sit down in the bed because you can't sit up on the edge of the sideboards anymore. And God kept him. And you know, these are the experiences that you have to have when you're on a mission field. It's just things like this, you know. And they're life-changing forever and ever. Last night, for those of you who came out, we're just so grateful. Four churches came together and we had a time of worship. And can I tell you, it was different. It was different than what we're used to. But how beautiful is God that we can rejoice in everyone's difference? Everybody in here, you're all different. Look at you. Good golly. Some of you look almost alien. Hey, they've been spotting UFOs, they say, so I don't know. If you see like a little twinkle in someone's eye next to you, I would wonder also. I just want you to know, I'd look a little deeper. But, you know, we need to get to a point where we rejoice in everyone's difference. We need to learn to rejoice in the way that someone else worships. Pastor Jeff's church up there, it was beautiful last night. Come together, Sam played the drums and Justin Jolly played lead guitar, and then Tommy, he's downstairs leading worship, he played acoustic guitar, and then they have a keyboard player who's the music teacher for the Hudson High School. Pastor Jeff played the bass, and then they had some singers, three ladies from their church, beautiful voices. And can I tell you, the devil hated it because the body came together. What else do you want to do on a Saturday night? What else should the church be doing on a Saturday night besides worshiping God and crying out to Him? Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we've already done the things of this world, haven't we? How long do we have to do that before we get sick of that? And so as we came, you know, Pastor Jeff was so encouraged because he was standing up there and he said to hear everybody singing. And you all don't know what it's like. He's got about 35 people that come on a Sunday morning. And when you have 35 people and then the room is full, oh, it changes everything. And for anybody that's ever been in that place, it really does change everything. And he said, I loved listening to everybody singing because they all started singing. And so thanks, guys, for stepping out, singing, standing, meeting some new people, and it was beautiful. And I really believe it's something that God is, he's getting ready to add to and to multiply. He's opening up other doors with other pastors. And you know, there's a blessing that comes, and it's big. It's huge when we come together. When the body walks in unity with one another. And so I'm really looking forward to see what God does and the other men of God that come in that we can just encourage and lift up. And it's funny because Pastor Jeff's grandson was there. And towards the end, I closed in prayer and I just said, you know, guys, listen, you can stay here. We're going to do another song of worship or two. We're going to spend time in prayer. But if you need to go, you can go ahead. If you have children and there's snacks in the back there, you can go and fellowship with one another and have something to eat. And Pastor Jeff's grandson grabbed a hold of his father and he said, Dad? I said, yeah. He said, you told me that I would love Pastor Jerome. He said, yeah, you will when you meet him. He said, if all them cookies are gone when I get out there, I won't like him very much. Out of the mouths of babes, huh? That's all it takes is a cookie. So with that, thanks, guys, because I know you really encouraged Pastor Jeff, Pastor Craig, Pastor Paul. I know you encouraged them all with your witness, and it's powerful when we come together for one purpose, and that's to give God glory, because it had nothing to do with any of us. It had everything to do with him. And so thanks. And you know what? For those that walked up front and gave a word and prayed, thanks. Thanks so much. Afterwards, Pastor Jeff said, man, he says, there's a lot of them that came up. He said, a lot of them came up and gave words and prayed. We haven't had a line that long that came up before. And I said, well, that's what happens when the body comes together. Everyone has something to share. Amen? We all have something to share. And this morning before you leave, I don't know what you came in with, but I want you to make sure that you share it with someone before you leave. Whatever you've been, God has given you all week, before you leave here this morning, make sure that you share it with someone and build them up in the faith. Amen? So with that, if you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And as we celebrate, or remember, I should say, I don't know if there's celebrating except for the victory of it, but as we remember D-Day, right, June 6, 1944, when we invaded the beaches of Normandy, and how many men and women died that day. How many men storming the beach died? And obviously the other ones that were preparing for it, because there's always casualties long before we storm the beaches. But how many of them died that day? And oh, I pray that for each one of us that we would all die today. That every one of us would die to ourselves today. Just like those men, when they got the word, they said, for the freedom of the known world, for freedom, we're going to send you guys in. We don't know how many are coming home, but we're sending you in. They were scared. They were terrified. The odds were against them. Many didn't think it was possible. Attacking on two fronts, Germany on two fronts now, and they put them in a vice. And these men ran with all that they had onto the beaches, and they gave their lives for the freedom that we enjoy. And now some of these spoiled, rotten punks running around and think that they have a voice and to determine what freedom looks like, and it cost them nothing. Everybody's got a voice, but there's a cost that came for each one of us to have that freedom to voice your opinion. You can go to any other country in the world, let's see what kind of a voice you have. But when you come here, you can shout it from the rooftops, and you don't have to worry about getting stoned in the street. That's what freedom looks like. And I want you to know your opinion of righteousness and truth is as powerful as anyone else's on the planet. No one else's voice is more powerful than yours. None, because you walk in the truth. You walk in the truth. These men gave their lives so that you could shout and scream the name of Jesus Christ, so that you could sing the songs of deliverance in the house of God and expect a miracle to happen in your life with no condemnation, with no fear, and just walk in your freedom. And I pray that none of us ever forget the price that was paid. Tens of thousands of men's lives gone just for you. You need to know how valuable you are in this country right now. Your voice must be heard. They were scared and they did what they were supposed to do. You might walk out there and maybe you don't think you have all the answers. Just do what you're supposed to do. If someone shares their opinion, you share yours. Because yours causes a miracle to happen. Because yours is filled with faith in the Word of God. We stay with the Word, amen? We stay with the Word of God. We don't get caught up in the politics and the nonsense. It's not us against them. It's just us and Christ. We are for Christ. We're not against anyone. But I'm not moving from what the Word of God says. I'm not changing. I'm not changing what I'm going to say when I get into a group of people. And we've got to stop changing. All done drawing back. The church has got to stop walking backwards. We've already taken the land. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. Stand up. These men did at the cost of their lives. We need to do the same thing, no matter what it costs you. Because I know your future. I know your eternity, and it's spectacular. God's just looking for a few good men and women that would stand up and proclaim his name in the town square, at every board meeting, and no matter where you are, what the truth is. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And there's probably one of the most powerful words there is do. Because we can all read it, and we all have. We've read it many times, some hundreds of times. But he said, the things that you see and the things that you have heard, and what did he just say? Whatsoever things are true and honest, whatsoever things are just and pure, that are lovely and of good report and virtue, think on these things. He said, these things you learn from me, do them. Do them. What gets you sidetracked more than a wrong thought? What causes more problems in your life than a thought? God gives us a freedom to think. What an honor. What a freedom he's given us. You get to think for yourself. Isn't that what we teach our children the whole time growing up? You've got to think, son. You got to think. You can't do that. Well, I didn't know. Well, all right, yeah. I should have taught you first before I asked you to think, apparently. And I mess around with my sons all the time. And we'll come up and we'll go to do a job and they won't know. I said, what are you doing? That's not the way you do that. They're like, oh. I said, didn't your father teach you anything? They're like, some things, but not everything. And so Paul said, look, I want you to do what I'm explaining to you. I want you to do what I'm instructing you to do. I want you to do what you have seen me doing. What you have seen me do, do it. Don't talk about it all the time. Don't think about it all the time. Do it. He said, this is how I want you to think. Well, that's easy. No, it's not. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do in every situation is think righteously, is think purely, is think just. Look at the person next to you. Say, I'm trying to think good thoughts about you. Yeah. And for some husbands and wives, that's a reality this morning. God has given us a responsibility to think and to reason through the Word of God. He's also given us the parameters of how we're supposed to think. You can't just think any way you want to think. You don't have that you don't have that freedom. You lost that freedom to think any way you feel like thinking today. I can tell by the look on some of y'all's faces, you don't have some good thoughts right now. It's so easy to see. The one eye, oh yeah. The other one is sitting there and going the old. Some just looking straight down. If he sees my face, I know he's going to know exactly what I'm thinking. And it ain't good. I don't care. I'm working through it, brother. Listen, the hardest thing you will ever do is control the thoughts in your head. The only way to do it is according to the Word of God. Because we're not strong enough. We're not powerful enough to do it on our own. And whatever you're putting before your eyes is what you're going to think about. It's very simple. We already know the scripture is quite clear. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But God gives us the freedom to walk through life and allows us to think for ourselves. He's given us some guidelines and the parameters in order for us not to get caught up in the bondages or to destroy what he has created. So question, is there ever a word that's come out of your mouth that destroyed instead of built up? The thing that was closest to you, the person that was closest to you, the words that have flowed out of your mouth, where because you couldn't control a thought, then your emotions got out of control, and then your mouth takes a free ride. That tongue just starts flapping like something 60 miles an hour in a window of a car going down the road. Brrr. And there isn't a thought in our head about pure, lovely. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. And if we're going to walk in victory, and if we're going to go out and change the world, then when someone comes and tells you how you're supposed to think, and you get paralyzed, I don't know what to say. That's the thought you got going inside your head. I don't know what to say. Wait a minute. We've been reading. Whatever is pure. Well, wait a minute. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe the word of God is true. How easy is that to remember? It's not that difficult, is it? You want to shut down conversations or watch people lose their minds? Just tell them, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe the word of God is true. They'll start running around just screaming and yelling like chickens with their heads cut off. They won't know how to respond to you. It's where we're at. But you've got to keep your mind on the word of God and be able to think through the process without your emotions going overboard. How powerful a freedom that he has deposited in us. You know, there's some people that hate to think. They don't want to think. We've got generations that are coming up. They don't want to think. They want somebody else to tell them how to think and to take care of them so they don't have to think about their future and what needs to be done. This is what the government loves to do. A whole herd of, a generation of sheep not learning how to think. You know where they learn to think? Right here. Through the word of God. In your home, because of the word of God. They want to try to tell you how to think. What do you think this CRT garbage is? Right? Critical race theory. You know what they want to destroy? The same thing that BLM organization. Now, do we believe Black Lives Matter? Yes. Okay, this is the stupidest thing that anybody has ever tried to predict or try to get everybody to think about. Do black people matter? Yeah. And all the black people said amen? All right, good. See that? And you matter. There's no doubt. But the organization is horrible because their goal is to destroy the nuclear family. Guess what CRT or critical race theory, guess what their goal is? Destroy the nuclear family. Why? Because there's no stronger, there's no more powerful place to raise children than in a godly home. And they know that when you build that deposit into your children, it's something that stays with them. Because the word of God says that even when they're old, it'll stay with them their whole lives. They'll go back to that foundation. Like Jillian was saying, her foundation is getting rebuilt again. What happens is God's clearing off that thing that she was building, and now he's starting to put it back on that cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's rebuilding the foundation that they walked away from. And each one of us have had issues in that. Amen? And so when any organization wants to destroy the nucleus of the family, they're attacking God. Who's the one that created family, right? In Genesis chapter 2, right? Man and woman he created. He created the family. He said, hey, she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You're going to have children. Husbands, leave your mother and father. All right, Sam? No more going over there every night eating their food. All right. No more taking showers using their body wash. Those days are all over, okay? No more siphoning gas out of dad's car into yours because,
right? Leaving and cleaving. This is what's God's plan. This is how he wanted every one of us to grow up. And now man comes in and says, no, we got to take that apart. Why? Because then they're real easy. They're easy prey. They don't have a foundation. They don't have mom and dad sitting there speaking into their lives and bringing that balance that God created for this time in this season. Right from the beginning, he started doing it. And I want you to know, every family, you are the most powerful entity on the planet for your sons and your daughters. And that's where the body of Christ comes in, because you can't sit there. Listen, if you've been divorced or whatever it is and you're a single parent, you got to know that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do here. We want the sons and daughters coming into the house of God. They had an amazing time Tuesday night. Tuesday night when they had co-op and they had their award ceremony. Can I tell you, watching all the different families working together and adding to maybe what they don't get when they're home. Because probably a lot of them, if they get homeschooled, they don't get a lot of the music lessons. But Gina does music lessons. She does an amazing job with them, right? Miss Jen does art. You don't want me teaching art to homeschoolers. I just want you to know. Because if I'm teaching art, it's the art of how to handle a weapon properly. It's the art of feeding your family from animals that live in the woods, all right? That's about the only art I'm going to give them besides stick figures. That's all we're getting if I'm doing art. And so to see the body of Christ take all the gifts of God and bring them together and then instill them into these beautiful children, and then watching the children work together and fight together. Oh, I've been here. You should see them. Oh, yeah, you're walking through, and all of a sudden, whack, one kid just drills another one. Oh, yeah, he picks up something, boom, across the room it goes. Yeah, we might have to buy more windows, but you know what? It's worth it if we're training children, amen? These babies are coming in, and they're learning how to live together. They're learning how to build on biblical principles. They're learning how to think. They're learning how to think righteously. And that's what we have to do. That's why we've got to keep the word of God before our eyes. But some people hate to think. You younger people, you need to learn to enjoy how to think. Because when you're playing video games, you ain't got a thought in your head. I've watched these guys. I've watched them. Their fingers are moving so stinking fast, I don't even know. They're playing Fortnite, and all they're doing is sitting there like this. And they're building structures. And he's got one guy's blowing up this structure. There's three guys coming at him, just the two thumbs going. And I'm looking at him like, no wonder why they're not satisfied with anything. They just saw 37,000 pictures in 10 seconds. That visual stimulation. But it's, we need to teach them to think a little bit more outside that box, amen? Rather than just that visual stimulation. And I believe that's where the body of Christ comes in. Some people love to think about what could happen. Some people love to think about the future and what's coming. But the government's trying to change and train an entire generation not to desire to think. Don't think. Don't worry about it. Don't work. You just sit back. We'll take care of everything. That is the deadliest thought process that there is on the planet. Because there is no government around that has done it all right. None. It's we the people, for the, by the, yeah, last I knew you were people, most of yous. And so therefore it's because of you. And if you're not in the section, if you're not out in that public sector thinking and bringing wisdom, then what are they thinking? They're only using human reasoning. They're not getting anything supernatural. That's who you are. Because when you speak, miracles happen. A couple of people that like to think for themselves and think outside the box. Anybody remember George Washington Carver, known as the plant doctor? That's what he was known as. And you know what? He got thinking and he said, Lord, tell me the secrets of the universe. And God brought it down a little bit smaller and he showed him a peanut. Because George Washington Carver is the one that invented peanut butter. Thank God for George Washington Carver. Amen. Yeah. That stuff sustains. You dip anything in peanut butter, it don't matter. You know? Protein, yeah. and a gallon of water. Yeah. But you know what else? Because he sat and he thought about it. And what he said, the Lord has guided me, and without my Savior, I am nothing. The Lord has guided me in all that I have done. You know what else he invented? Cosmetics. And all the women said, oh yeah, oh yeah. Huh? And all the men said, hallelujah, hallelujah. He invented paint. He came up with different oils and marble, plywood, and even the dye used in Crayola crayons. Because one man wanted to think, he wanted to take the God-given ability that God gave him to think about things. Listen, God created the heavens and the earth. He's pretty creative, isn't he? Yeah, and he wants to use you to get creative, not only in things to invent, but in ways to win souls. God wants us, he's very creative, and he'll take your gift. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have that gift. I can't talk to anybody when I walk in. That's fine. Oh, by the way, if you go over to Plaza Diner in the afternoon or early evening, there's a young girl, Brianna, over there. Yeah, make sure you take good care of her. Okay, she needs the Lord. We're going to be praying. We're going to be believing God for her because God put her on my spectroscope. So if you guys go over there, just make sure that you love on her, all right? She's going to be moving to Tannersville. So if anybody's out there, go over there and get to meet her and then speak some of that life into her. There was another guy by the name of Gary Starkweeder. Imagine going to military with that name, Rob. He's got problems. But he was an inventor of the laser printer. Yeah. And he was obviously an engineer. He said, I believe that to a great extent, the creativity we possess is because the Creator put it there. God put things in us as tool developers and creative individuals, and I think it has to please him when he sees us use those faculties to make something completely new. Isn't that something? I know it blesses God when we make babies that are brand new. We know that procreation, that's what God created. When they come out, he just looks at it, and you know that pleases God. So I thank God we got lots of babies. Got more coming, right, Samara? There's somebody else. I don't know. There's 10 or 15 more. Chelsea. There's about 10 or 15 women pregnant. Must have been a cold winter this year. But we just love babies. It's something that God... And then we get to see the designer when they come out. But can I tell you, there's other ways that God wants us to walk. There's creative things that you're supposed to design. There's creative, if you want to think and meditate on God, he put that in you. And when you sit and think, one of the scariest minds in here is John Scannell. When John starts to think, I leave the room. Because John starts talking about how we can do these things, and I'm like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. That's a whole different realm that he thinks in. I think in, 1 to 2D. John thinks in 6 to 8D. It doesn't comprehend in my mind. John starts to draw it. We can build it, but not inside that mind. That's a scary place. He has to grab a hold of them thoughts and take some of them captive because they'll lead to other places. But that's a gift that God has given him. My wife comes up with an idea, and John said, oh, yeah, I can create that. We just look, okay. And after all these years, we just say, we don't even say nothing. Brent says, here, this is the idea I had, John. Oh, yeah, I'll be over to your house and I'll draw it out for you in a few days. Done. And that back in the deep recesses of John's mind, this universe of creativity just starts to unfold. It's like mega mind all of a sudden. The winds, the stars, the planets are swirling. And then John gets a picture. And then it manifests on the planet Earth. But can I tell you, every single person in here has that ability in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's your gift, when the musicians come up here, when they come up and they just start to work together and it starts to synchronize and them sounds start to come for the purpose of glorifying God, it's because of the way that they think They thought, hey, I'd like to do this. I'm going to practice until I'm good because God deserves me taking my gift and exploring a way to glorify and honor him. Amen? See, because when you're thinking pure things, it's not selfish. Tell your neighbor, say, you need to listen right now. When you're thinking pure, it's not selfish. It's not me and what I want. It's what is God given and how can I release it in the realm of reality that we walk in so that he's glorified. Amen? Every single one has a gift or a talent that God has given. And when we start to think purely, then it's so easy to take the gift and use it for the king. But when we're not thinking purely, then we draw back and we hold on to that gift. And guess what? People's lives aren't affected the way they could be because we've refused to take what God has given us and allow him. Why? Because of a thought. I don't want to. It's really that simple, isn't it? Right? Did God create you? Right. The oxygen around you, that's not yours. All right. That's his. And he gives it to you liberally. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Yeah. The blood flowing through your veins. He created that. It's a miracle working machine that you live in. Your spirit man lives in. And so now how do we take all of that and say, I don't want to. I don't like you. Now, I know I'm exaggerating, but it's exactly the thoughts that go through your heads. Yeah, I ain't hanging out with them guys. They're different. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Yeah, no way. I can't walk with them. We make a decision because of a thought that comes into our mind. Whether you've been accepted or rejected will determine so many different paths that you're able to take. When you know you're accepted and you're loved, how much freer are you? Remember before you were saved, I do, how insecure you were? Right? Always looking for approval somewhere, striving, looking for it, performing better than anybody else just to get some praise. It's quiet. It must be some are still struggling with that now. What is that? That insecurity comes all because of a thought, isn't it? I'm not that good. They do it better. How is that that we tell the king of the universe what you created doesn't do it good enough? How dare we say to God, I won't be used by you because you didn't do a good enough job on me. What in the world is that all about? I believe that what God's created in you is fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of my God. And therefore, there's a group of people out there that are waiting for you to start thinking rightly. So when you walk into the room, I'm here. Who needs a miracle? It's the only thought we should have, amen? Isn't that what Jesus did? Yes. He walked up to the woman at the well. Can I get a drink? You ain't supposed to ask me for a drink. I'm not here to live by the fears of man. I'm not worried about the Sadducees and the Pharisees and their opinion. I'm only interested in what my Father told me to do when I come down here. And that's to destroy all of the foolishness that man thinks like. And I'm going to do it with some thoughts. Here's my thought towards you, he says. I love you. Isn't that good enough? Isn't that powerful? God loves you. Just tell your neighbor, say, God loves you. Tell your other neighbor, say, at least make your face look like God loves you. Yeah. Yeah. Some people are like, God loves you. Yeah, he loves you, dear. He does. When you walk into the room, you're loved. When you walk into the room, the thought, no, whatsoever things are pure, I am mighty to the pulling down of every stronghold in this room. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. A miracle is going to take place when I open my mouth and I speak truth into whatever situation comes. That's who I am, because the I am lives in me. That's the thoughts we have to be thinking. Those are just. It is unjust to think that you can't. Are you able? One person. This is the problem with the church. Just me and George. Are you able?
Yes.
Are you willing?
Yes.
Oh, you're mine now. That's who you are. You're able. And now are you willing? One thought, pure thought, just thought, a thought that's lovely. The person you're sitting next to, do you have lovely thoughts towards them? Maybe you don't even know them. Are they pure thoughts? Huh? Or are you sitting there, can't believe they do their hair like that. I can't believe some don't even have hair. Whatever your thoughts are. I would never be caught in public wearing that shirt. What are your thoughts when you sit down? Man, they got the breath of a rhinoceros. We need some more mints. Now, it might be true, but you got to be loving enough to say, have a mint, Jack. Take the bag, baby. I don't know what it is. Get the garden hose with the Listerine. We'll get you ready for church next week. I don't know what it is. What are your thoughts? But I want you to know, when you sit down, everybody knows the thoughts that you're thinking, because you act out your thoughts. Your thoughts consume. Your thoughts control. Your thoughts guide you into either all truth or a lie. How many sit on the sidelines because of a major mistake? How many? And they sit back because they can't get past a thought. The Bible says tearing down, right? Tear it down, rip it out, and tell it, you have no authority over my life again. I'll stand on the word of God. Holy mackerel, we're out of time? This is ridiculous. I don't know who the guy, I guarantee you, the guy that invented the clock was not a Christian. I'm just saying. Well, we're going to have to pick up on this next week. Because I'm telling you, what sets us free, what sets us at liberty, or is our thought process. Listen, I can learn to love everyone. Sometimes it's easy to love people, isn't it? Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult, right? It depends on your experience with them, right? Some people have a hard time loving their parents because of experience, or grandparents, or aunts and uncles. Something happened, whether it was abuse, whether it was neglect, whether it was just maybe a cutting word, whatever it is. And then we build a wall because we try to protect ourselves. But can we find a place, can we get to a place where we forgive them no matter what it was, right? Because those that are flexible do not break, right? We get too rigid and we break. And then everything, we become very critical of everything that goes on in our lives. And if anybody does anything wrong to us, then we're going to bring the hammer down. Right? We're bringing the hammer because my way is right. It's not pure, it's not just, and it certainly ain't lovely, but by golly, in my mind, it's right. We're going to have to surrender it all and look at our lives. And it needs to start inside of our hearts with our God. The thought that you have from your God, are you fearfully and wonderfully made? Are you completely forgiven? Is there no more guilt and no more shame? Is there no more condemnation? You see, those are the first thoughts we got to get right in our lives before we can even think about giving them pure thoughts, lovely thoughts, joyous thoughts, just thoughts. So this week, you're going to grab every thought that comes in. Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Does it have any virtue? Because nothing else is going to consume my mind, my life, and certainly not my tongue this week. I'm not speaking things that I used to speak. I'm getting set free by the power of God's word. Amen? Stand up this morning. Come on. I'm telling you, it's the most powerful thing that we can ever grab a hold of are just thoughts. Wonder what kind of thoughts Sam has about his marriage going forward. It's going to be beautiful. It's perfect. It's wonderful. We've been married for a week. It's incredible. We don't have any problems. Oh, 2 weeks. Sorry. 2 weeks. Bam, baby. They got it down. It's going to be incredible all the way through. We never argue. We never fight. We only think good thoughts. And that better be your thought the rest of your life. It's got to be that thought. Otherwise, what is it going to be? Oh, here we go again. I can't believe I made that decision. Oh, what am I doing? It's one of the two, amen? One of the two is going to consume you. I figure I'm going to be consumed by telling my bride that she's my gift from God. She's my queen. She's my bride. That's all you'll ever hear me say. Right? Okay. I just want to make sure I was correct in that. That's all because I made a decision that when it comes to my wife, I'm going to have a certain thought and it's never going to change. The day I lost it, the day that we got married and she sang, she had pre-recorded a song and she sang it to me. And man, I'm telling you, I never forgot it. Never forgot it. It changed my life forever. Number one, that she could sing that good. Oh yeah, she sings me to sleep every night. No, that's not true. But that song changed the way that I thought about her. She took the time to pre-record it. And she just wanted to be a blessing and she wanted to honor me on her wedding day. I never knew she could sing. But I never forgot that moment when I were holding hands and the song came on and I said, man, that's beautiful. And Bren, she starts singing it. And I'm like, shh, I want to hear the song. She said, that's me. And I said, I know I can hear you, but I want to hear this song. She said, I pre-recorded it. It's my voice. I was like, what? Are you? It was over. I was done. But it's just little things that we do to say, I love you. To keep in our forefront of our mind, every married couple, whatever your thoughts are, make sure you speak life into your marriage, life over your children. There'll be enough that will try to destroy, stop, and jealousies. Let none of that come in this house. If you've got a problem with a brother, the Bible says, go to the brother. You're going to have problems in the church. Amen? We're all human beings, but we're going to handle it according to the word of God, where our thoughts, my thoughts towards you have to stay pure and lovely and just and of good report and virtue in them, believing God for the best. Believing God for the best in every single one here. Everyone, so that you fulfill what God's called you to do. Why? Because I'm not going to stand with you when you stand before God. My job is to encourage you that you can do all the things that God has spoken about your life. Because you're going to stand before him one day. So the only thing I can do is remember what God said. Look at what happens, what you enjoy doing, and say, go do it some more. Here's what the word says. Now go. Go. Matt and Christine been going doing Friday nights. Last Friday night, they had 9 adults come out to help them. That's what happens when you stay at it. When you don't give up. When you keep loving them babies. And then other people say, you know what? I want to be a part of that. How can I serve you? Whatever God's called you to do, do it with all your might. All of it. Oh, I can't do that. Wrong thought. I'm not that gifted. Wrong thought. Listen, I am not going to teach art class. That's a wrong thought. That is not my gift. So make sure you're walking in your gift. Amen. Not something that you want to do because you saw somebody else do it. Walk in your gift. Because the thought that God has towards you is a beautiful thought. Perfect thought. God has no irrational thoughts when it comes to you. We're the only ones that get irrational thoughts, and God's tearing them down. He said, whatsoever. That's it. Nothing else but my thoughts towards you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. And Lord, we just speak life into every single person, life into every marriage. You said miracles happen. The psalmist wrote, when we speak, life into every marriage, life into every child, life into every relationship. Father, the brothers and the sisters and the aunts and the uncles, every family saved in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, let us not look at the words that come out of their mouths, but let us keep control of the words that come out of ours. No matter what they say, we remind them of who they are. We remind them of what your word says. And even though some will disagree with us and some will complain about us, we'll never stop speaking truth in love, because the power of God is made manifest when his word goes forth. Thank you, Father, for knitting our hearts together with you first and foremost. Oh, what an amazing Father we have. So good to us, oh God. So good. And Lord, today we make a decision to walk out of this building thinking pure thoughts, just thoughts, righteous thoughts about each one. And Lord, let those pure thoughts consume us. That every time the lie comes, I've done that before. I wasted enough time. Let it be my thoughts that come from the Holy Ghost to consume me, to see the change in people's lives as you start to change us, Father. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the beautiful gifts represented in this house. Thank you that the world around us is changing through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that the blood has accomplished through every life represented here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.